Welcome to Go Simcha, the podcast that takes you on an in-depth approach to the Jewish music, entertainment, and Simcha world. Now, here's your host, Zisha Littman. Episode of Go Simcha, the podcast, is proudly sponsored by Karen Simchas Chasson Vikala. Karen Simchas Chasson Vikala was founded over 25 years ago and is based in Brooklyn, New York. KSCVK helps widows, orphans, and people who are in dire need of marrying off a child. Working through their network of vendors, KSCVK ensures that every wedding is just as special as the next. Run by world-renowned party planner Devorah Benjamin, KSCVK takes care that each wedding is as elegant as the next one, ensuring dignity and class through every wedding that they put on. To donate to KSCVK, please visit their website, kscvk.org, today. That's kscvk.org, and help make someone's wedding special. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another wonderful episode of Go Simcha, the podcast. We're now in season two, episode two, and today we're sitting down with a legend. He is one of the original singers in the Jewish music world. He is an absolute legend. We've actually had a majority of his family on the show in season one, and it is a big chus to sit down and talk with him and learn his story, and I'm sure you guys are all excited to hear it as well. So I'd love to welcome the great Avram Fried to Go Simcha, the podcast, kicking off season two, episode two. Avram Fried, how are you?
Hi, Zisha. Such a pleasure to meet you over this podcast, even though we're thousands of miles apart. But today's technology gives us a chance to talk. And like I told you earlier, I guess after 40 years, I finally made it to Go Simcha. Now I can look into retirement.
Gewalt. I'm happy that I can facilitate retirement.
But you talked me out of it. So I'm going to take your advice.
I'm happy that you're not going to retire after doing my show, because you put out some great music. I mean, you have well over close to 30 albums out there, and you keep going. So, I mean, please, good God, don't retire after this.
Okay.
But nonetheless, it's close to have you on the show. I mean, we've been waiting for you. Like I said, I've had the majority of your family, your musical family, already on our show. They mentioned you many times, told us some great stories about you, but now it's your turn to tell your story to our listeners all over the world, about how you got started in the music business and where you're headed from here. So what's your story?
I'm 1 foot.
you can do 1 foot, two hands. You know.
Okay. Oh, all right. Where should we start? Actually, I'm told that I started singing at a very young age, like 4 or 5. And besides my family that heard me sing, we were neighbors with the Rebbe's mother.
Wow.
The Lubavitch Rebbe's mother, right next door. And my mother, Aleh HaShalom, would go visit from time to time and bring me along. And I was told that the Rebbetzin would ask me to sing. And since I was a little young, shy little boy, I would go behind the curtain and I would sing some Chabad songs. And tradition has it that she once expressed a bracha or a wish that this little Avremele will grow up and don't remember the exact quote, but the idea was that he would be Mesameyach Yidden on a big scale. So I guess you could say this was handed to me on a silver platter. The blessings that I got from this holy woman. And here we are 40 years later. And thank God people like what they hear when I sing. It doesn't cease to amaze me. I thank God for it every day. And the idea was when I got a little older after being in a choir when I was until Bar Mitzvah, there's some recordings of me at that young age. I decided it was time to perhaps bring the world some good positive messages, because 40 years ago, a lot of Jewish music was still about the Holocaust and about pain and crying and tears. And I would hear from the Rebbe every Shabbos and every Yom Tov such wonderful messages, great uplifting messages. And I said, you know, maybe we should put these ideas to song. And I remember one line that the Rebbe kept repeating, which became the title of my first CD, No Jew Will Be Left Behind. When Mashiach comes, not a single Jew can be left behind. Otherwise, we're an incomplete people. And that was the Rebbe's great message. So let's start with that. No Jew will be left behind. And I've been trying to be positive ever since. and bring uplifting messages. And I'm very humbled by this amazing journey.
Wow. And it truly is an amazing journey. I mean, you said you've been doing this for what? Close to 40 years. 40 years.
Coming up on 40 years, yes.
Wow. That's amazing.
It is amazing.
That is really amazing. And you've seen it through the generations. You've gone through the different, like each generation throughout music. And it really, it shows in your albums. Like I said, I was going through some of your albums, your discographies. You have so many different albums. And it's always evolving. And that's the whole thing with the Jewish music. I've noticed that throughout the generations, it's always evolving, and it's fantastic.
Right. I believe that as an artist, I think the artistry of the art demands, if you can, if you have the talent and you have the blessing from Hashem, to be colorful, to be, obviously staying within a certain box. As a Hasidic singer, I can't, try to do things that wouldn't be in the Hasidic mode, so to speak. So I try to keep it in the box. But if you can be colorful and do different kinds of music, then why not? So I have some Yiddish CDs, I have some Chabad CDs, and I think that's the beauty of it. The more colors, and you try to reach a greater audience. So some speak Yiddish, give them Yiddish. Some speak English, give them songs in English. Some like Chabad songs, the real heavy Hasidic stuff, the unique Chabad songs. So we give them that. So we try. I've been trying to mix it up. And most recently, I came out with an Israeli CD because I am enjoying great Hatzlacha in Eretz Yisrael. And people demanded a full CD in Ivrit. So we did even that. So add that to the collection.
Wow. That's incredible. Yeah, as I say, you do a lot of English songs, and they're very well written, and they're very well played out. And I think it's part of what makes you who you are is that you're out there to inspire, you're out there to uplift people, and it shows in a lot of your, both obviously in the Hebrew songs and the Yiddish songs, but also in the English songs too. The message is very, very positive. I mean, and like I said, going through some of your albums and seeing the different songs that you put out there, and they've really become classics and really been there to be mischazik people over the years. And I think it's incredible.
Well, like I said, Zisha, it is incredible. And I try to keep that focus that you mentioned the word inspiring. I'd like to think of myself as a potential inspirer. There are better singers and better entertainers out there than I, for sure. But I feel like I have a message that I'd like to share, and that being positive and uplifting and encouraging. And so many, many, many CDs and titles basically deal with Mashiach. That's my most popular topic, obviously.
Yes.
But lately, as time goes by, I'm singing songs like Father Don't Cry and Keep Climbing, trying to, keep people strong, and we're almost there, we're almost at the top. What a shame to give up now. Truthfully, I'm running out of ideas. I'm running out of ideas, but, we've done it so long. Hashem will help and give us new inspiration and new encouraging ideas and good lines for titles. And good songs, and I look forward to bringing out the next one.
Be'ezrat Hashem.
Be'ezrat Hashem.
So, what was the Jewish music industry like 40 years ago?
40 years ago, there weren't really any young singers. There was Shlomo Kalbach, Olivar Shalom. There was David Werdiger, Mordechai's father, Olivar Shalom. There was Benzion Schenker, famous Mojitzer Menagin, Olivar Shalom, and Yosef Yom Tov Erlich, that we heard in our home, Yiddish songs. And then, of course, there was Chazonim, or Chazonis. But other than that, as I remember, there wasn't, that was it. And then one day, a young singer by the name of Mordechai Ben David came along, and I think he opened up the gates for the next generation.
Wow.
So, but back then it was MBD and then you, and who else was in that group?
I think Miami Boys Choir started also back then. There was some Pirches. There was Pirche, Pirche London started back then. I'm not sure. Miami was there. Yerchmiel begun. Some other Pirches. There were the Rabbi's Sons. I don't know if these names sound familiar to you or not.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah? Okay. So you had the Rabbi's Sons. You had Joe Amar.
Join the leader in Glatt Kosher Tours today with Kosher Rica Tours. Luxury cruises aboard the most desirable kosher cruise lines in the world. Glatt Kosher gourmet cuisine prepared fresh daily and world-class scholars and residents aboard every tour. Experience the world with Kosher Rica today. Our tours sell out fast, so book yours today by visiting kosherica.com today. That's kosherica.com today. And experience the world through Kosher Rica's eyes.
The famous Sephardi singer. Who am I missing?
Oh, you're naming.
But as a solo singer, the younger one who broke through the gates, I think was Mordechai.
Wow, that's really incredible. And now you see, like, there's so many people coming out and as singers and artists and things like that. And it's really, like I said, it's every day is like evolving into something different. And even
absolutely.
like your own immediate mishpacha, like, you know, your nephews with Eighth Day and Ellie Marcus, and like they've come up in the ranks in the music world, and they're very talented. They're very, very
right.
Talented. Would you say you had some mishpacha in them?
That you have to ask them. I would say that the audience for Jewish Hasidic music is growing by leaps and bounds, and their tastes are different. They're not all just Hasidic people listening.
Right.
And I think every one of the singers today is serving or catering, inspiring a different type of audience. I think that's the beauty of it, that there's no excuse today not to listen to Jewish music, because you have every color, every shade, and that's great stuff. So it's great stuff. There's no need to turn anywhere else. Any style you like, you can find it amongst Jewish frum singers today. So
right.
It's incredible.
It really is. And that's what I was going to say, like with Eighth Day and with what they do, it seems like they have taken a little bit from you. Like their messaging and the way they give over their music, the way they sing, it does sound a lot like some of the albums you've done, like their English songs and the Yiddish songs and their Hebrew songs. It does sound and come up with a similar style of what you've done over
right.
the years. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah, their messages are positive. They have very, very, you know, poignant, deep messages and a fun package with very catchy tunes. And, you know, it's just if you're ever in a bad mood, put on Eighth Day. They can cheer you up very quickly.
All right. No, they were fun to talk to. They were a lot of fun to interview.
Yeah.
And it was nice. Now, you have a lot of albums, and you just released a new single. And part of what I was saying, how the music has constantly evolved into what it is now, I was listening to your single, the newest single you put out there, and I think it's really incredible how you meshed that classic, the classic sound with the beat, with the electronic beat going on there, with that, I guess, I don't know what you would call it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it...
Today's beat, today's
yes.
sound.
Trap.
Yeah.
It was mm-hmm. it was cool. It was very but it didn't sound weird. It didn't sound like it sounded perfect. Like the way everything meshed together and the way everything was mixed together, it sounded really cool. And that's like I was saying, like how the music world is evolved, like you can see from like your first album and up until this single, like how the music industry has changed so much. Like what's your take on that?
Well, that's exactly what's happening. I think today's young composers and musicians are just very with it. They're just very hip, and they know all the latest technological advances, and that they're going with it. They're using it. And on this single, I decided, let's just break all the rules once and for all. We're going to break all the rules. I don't usually do duets. And the fellow who composed it, the young Israeli composer, Bensi Stein, when he sent me the song, he said, you know what, I'm looking to do a duet on this one. What do you say? There's some good young guys out there. What do you say? I said, you know what, fine, let's do a duet. But find me a guy who I don't know, never heard of him. Let's give me a totally new name that I never heard of. And then, of course, the music was like so different. So
yeah,
usually every Jewish song has an introduction, has an intro. This song doesn't even have an intro. It's just a couple of guitar licks and boom, we start singing. So no intro, doesn't sound like any real instruments on the music.
Right.
I said, fine, let's go with that. You know, so I took chances on every level. So Ari Hill was the name that they introduced to me. And I heard him sing. I said, this guy is good. He sings with passion and fearless, and he belts it out and he knocks it out. I said, this sounds great. And I loved the music. To me had like this haunting kind of a mystical kind of sound to it. I wouldn't even call it an arrangement.
I know what you mean.
It's like very spooky and mystical and spiritual and I liked it at the outset. And when I went into the studio, it became like a very haunting, longing. The words obviously are Abba. He was talking about, you know, Abba and Abba Melech HaOlam. And we put in some Yiddish words and some English words, basically talking to our Father in heaven. So, hello?
Yeah, hi.
Oh, what was that? So it became a song of prayer, a song of longing. Like I said, the arrangement gave it that very spiritual, mystical kind of a feel. Like I was like transported to a different world, and people are liking the results. Very interesting.
Baruch Hashem, yeah, because you're meshing two worlds that would probably not ordinarily come together. Meaning your classic sound, your sound that you've built on for the past four decades, mixed with this new sound, this new beat, this new way of doing things in the music world. Like you said, you're breaking all the rules and bringing this together, this composition together to make it. And yeah, it sounded, like I said, you said it yourself, it sounded very spooky, very mystical, very spiritual, mm-hmm. and it accomplished the goal.
Yes, I think it worked. Listening back to it, I think it's a good listen. It touches something inside of you. And that's the reaction that I'm getting from people who are commenting on the song.
No, for sure. Now, I was going to tell you, it was actually funny. I was speaking to last week when I had Shlomo Simcha on the show. We were talking about Jewish music and how it's changed over the years. And I said to him, I said, I'll listen to a classic Avram Fried song any day over some of the newer stuff going on today, just because for me, I like that classic sound. And like between you and me, one of my favorite songs of yours is Animami. And it's from your first album, I believe. And
and
I just love the way the song is composed. And I love the way the beat, the rhythm and the beat and the way the music, I'm a musician myself. Personally, I'm a musician by trade. I mean,
what do you play?
Guitar, drum, saxophone, piano, you name it, I play it.
nice.
So I pick up these different nuances within the music. So I love Animang because I just love the sound. It sounds like something out of like the 70s. I mean, I'm assuming that's when it was written, maybe later, but it sounds like a very, very classic song. And I'll listen to some classic Avram Fried over a lot of stuff on the radio nowadays.
You have good taste, Isha. You have good taste. But like you said, the word is evolving. I think you have to stay with the times. But the danger in that is you can't go out of the box. And I have my red lights that I would not cross. I have my lines that I won't cross. But you know, okay, you give and take a little bit as time evolves and the music evolves and the taste of the listener perhaps evolves. But nobody will argue with you that a classic is a classic.
Right.
And, you know, 100%. And the trick is to write classics now. That's the trick. To have songs written now that will become classics in years to come.
No, for sure. Now, regarding, as we keep talking on this evolution of music and you being in this world for so many years, what's your take on Jewish music nowadays and the influences of the secular music that's penetrating this world?
Well, obviously, I think it's penetrated too much. I think we've let our guard down. And there are some songs you put on and you'll hear on the radio, or you'll hear it and you won't recognize that this is a Jewish song. You know, and that, I think, is a danger. I don't hear the non-Jewish music sounding Jewish. They're not doing our music, so why are we doing their music? And besides the fact that I don't think, if it doesn't have a Yiddish tom to it, if it doesn't have a Yiddish flavor to it, then what's the point? It can't have any spiritual results from it. If there's no, it's totally void of Yerushalayim, if it's totally void of anything Jewish or anything soulful, anything with a Jewish heart or a Yiddish tam, then it's basically just have a hit out there, get people jumping, and which is make money from it, making parnasa from it. That's your call. But I think clearly that there have been borders that have been crossed, and I think that's a mistake.
No, I agree with you 100% on that one, and it's just so interesting because music has so much kedusha to it, and if, like you said, if it has a tom of a Yiddish tom to it, then there's so much power behind that music. But if we keep I'm also a Hasidic man myself. I learned Hasidic. I understand how these things work from that perspective. And right, if we let too much in, then it loses its focus and loses its kedusha, and then we're just left with a shell.
And, Zisha, I think it's very simple. If when we listen to a certain song, and we can clearly pinpoint and say, "Whoa, this sounds like this guy was trying to copy so-and-so, in the non-Jewish market, this particular sound or this particular beat or groove." You can clearly tell that it's not coming from a holy source, so to speak. So it's so clearly identifiable that, the person behind this just does not have any intention of having anything to do with Kedusha, or anything to do with inspiring Yerushalayim. I will say to their credit, perhaps they feel that there is an audience that would be inspired by this or would be attracted to this kind of music. And if that's what they're catering to, okay. But if you're asking me, I would not go there. My music, like I said, I have my box, my borders. As a Chabad Chassid, I try very much to stay in that box because that was the reason why I went into music in the first place, not just to throw out hits out there and go with the flow, but to be careful and stay within the box and have a Yiddish tam, a Yiddish message, an uplifting message. And that's my shlichus. That's my goal.
100%. It's funny, like one of my rebbeim once told me many years ago when I was in yeshiva, he said, I was thinking about going back to that same yeshiva and trying to figure out what the best plan of action was. He said, listen, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So you must, I'm asking what you're saying. You've been doing this, for 40 years. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
But exactly.
It's
good,
quite
good advice. Good advice.
I high-fived him. I said, I'm with you on it. But it is
interesting. By the way, Zisha, there's a nice part about the difference of singing and speaking.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Reb Nachman's word, and he points out why is it that when people sing, you have a kumzit, the more people in the choir, the more beautiful. Whereas when speaking, if two people speak at the same time, it gives you a major headache. In addition, in speech, there's no element of harmony. No, it doesn't exist. You don't harmonize when you speak with somebody. Whereas in singing, I could sing one line as a musician, you could sing another line, and it only adds beauty to the melody. What's the difference? So he gives a simple classic answer, because when you speak, it's the body that's speaking. And a body takes up space. So if I'm speaking, you can't speak. If I'm saying something, you can't say anything else. Whereas by singing, it's the neshama that's singing. In the world of neshama, there's room for everybody. The more, the better. And you have an element of harmony. I could sing one line, you could sing another line. There's no egos there. It's all neshama. It's all spiritual. So I think we have to keep that in focus and remember that Nagina, especially from the holy sources that we're taught that how holy Nagina is and the Shiras HaLevim, it helped with the carbon in the Beis HaMikdash that sort of gave the carbon wings to fly and be accepted up on high. So we're talking about a very serious gift that Hashem gave us here. And I think if we keep that in mind, we stay focused.
100%. 100%. No, it's interesting we're talking about this. I recently heard that they came out with some psak in Lakewood in New York that you can't have no more like non-Jewish flavored music at the chasanas. Mm-hmm. That's what I heard. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I
see. So you mentioned a very, very sticky thing, the weddings. The weddings.
Yeah.
I have a very difficult time with Chasan Kala walking down to Broadway songs or to non-Jewish. It's the holiest moment of their life, and they're coming down to a song that's not from a holy source. I mean, that to me is like such a bad call. And then what goes on at the end of the weddings where they go totally how shall we call it? Yes, I think we've crossed some lines.
It's good to get your perspective on this because again, you're a legend. You're a seasoned professional in this world, and you've seen it all. You've seen, you know, you played in the Dora with Karlbach and right. the likes of them, and you've seen how things evolve, and.
Right.
You know, you're still in the game. I mean, you still do weddings. You'll still do chasanas.
If I'm invited, yes. If I'm invited. Yeah, Baruch Hashem. I'm actually doing a wedding in Paris. After we speak, I'm heading to the airport. So.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. So
there's nothing more holy. There's nothing more special when you're standing under, you know, with the band next to the Chasan Kala coming down to the chuppah and you sing a holy song. And there are plenty of them. There are plenty of songs that Chasan Kala can walk down to that are holy, that are pure, that fit the moment of Chasan Kala starting their life together on a pure note, on a holy note. And to have that moment tarred and blackened by a Broadway song or I don't get it.
I'm with you. Now, since you've been around for so long, you've seen things. You've had fun in the music world. What's one of the most memorable experiences you had? What's one of the most memorable things you've done? What and projects you've worked on? Because I know you've done a lot of these collaborations with people. You've done a lot of you've over the years. You've probably done a lot of fun things. So, what's something super memorable?
Oh boy, let's go back to Eretz Yisrael. Several years ago, there was an outdoor concert. And according to police estimation, there were over 200,000 people.
Oh, my.
So that was a memorable outing. Yes, I remember you couldn't see the end of the people. Like it meshed together with the sky. I think it was a Chol HaMoed Sukkot or Chol HaMoed Pesach. By the way, it was a free concert, so now you understand why so many people came. But nevertheless, that was the biggest crowd ever. One of the most memorable episodes that I had was singing for a young man who was in a coma. And the doctors said what they said, he had no chance and blah, blah, blah. But he came to a couple of days later. I called him to see how he's doing. And his wife said to me, yeah, speak with him. And he takes the phone and he takes the phone and he said, thank you for coming. I heard you were here. We'll meet soon and we'll talk. So 6 months later, when we did meet, and he was, thank God, and still is, Baruch Hashem, gesund und stark, he related to me that when he was in the coma, he didn't hear anything. But when I sang, he and his friends who were in a room, and he points up to Shamayim, we were in a room filled with a lot of light, we heard your song. And your song pulled my neshama back down into my body. That was his words.
Wow.
So that gave me a little indication of how much koyach a song can pack.
And, wow.
I should write some of these things down because I've forgotten many of them. But it's been a very humbling experience where people tell me how a song, a message has turned their life around. Quite humbling. What could I tell you?
Wow. You shine a little light there. That's incredible.
Shine a little light. Yes, absolutely.
You were in that video, weren't you?
Yeah, of course.
That was also really cool. I mean,
shine a little light, show us the way, lead us to a brighter day. Yep, Yitzi Horowitz.
That is one of my favorite songs. I put that on whenever I'm feeling a little bit down, and I rock out to that song because it really, not the message behind the song and also the person who wrote the song.
Exactly.
Adds so much more. It just, my father told me a story. He in his office, he gets the Chabad boys from the yeshiva coming around to his office, and they him and a couple of the Bachram, they go around putting tefillin on some of the people in the office. And they're coming around when they're doing the Tefillin for Yitzi project a couple weeks back.
Yep.
And he told me that there was one guy in the office who never put on tefillin. He didn't. He knew he was Jewish, but he never put on tefillin b'shita. Mm-hmm. And they told him what they were doing. They told him who Rabbi Yitzi was and everything like that. And with my father and a couple of the Bachram, they put tefillin on this guy, and he the way his face just like lit up. The way he did, and he said, I'm so happy I get to do this mitzvah for the rabbi.
Wow.
It's like,
incredible.
But it was very cool to hear that. And my father called me. He's like, you ever heard of Rabbi Yitzi Horowitz? I was like, yeah, I have. He is a very special, very, very wonderful human being. And that song, like when all you guys got together and sang on that song and sang in that video, you see like how much power music has. It's like you just want to see, like you just want to envision like a giant beam of light going up to Shemayim.
Yep. And light, of course, is one of my favorite topics. Light, good things, happy things, positive things. What is my song about light? I'm blanking now. Darkness you don't chase away with a stick. No, that won't do. Let in the light just a little bit, then you'll see the darkness go. Darkness you don't chase away with a stick. That's actually based on a Hasidic saying. Darkness you don't chase away with a stick. That's exactly the saying. Just let the light in and darkness just disappears.
And we get a free Alvin Fried concert on the show. This is incredible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Light. Today, in today's day and world, day and age, we need all the light we can get, because darkness is just not giving up. Darkness is just putting up a strong fight. And the more light, I say, let's fight with light.
Let there be light. Vayior.
Let there be light. Yep. Let there be light.
No, that's incredible. And it really, you know, as you said, your music, I guess, so to speak, has been a light onto the generations, and it keeps.
Oh, thank you so much.
It just keeps transcending, and people keep doing. I see people doing covers of your music, and people doing tributes to your music. Like it just keeps transcending the Doros, and it must be a really amazing feeling to see that. I mean,
it's amazing. It's humbling. I thank God for it every day. I keep praying that I can keep doing this. For as long as the candle is burning, you know. It's an amazing shlichus. It's an amazing mission. And I think all singers today have this great chus. We have this great merit to bring joy to people. And I think that's, you know, not to be taken lightly. We all are blessed with this great gift to inspire and make Yidden happy. That's, I think, a very unique group of people.
Right. 100%. That's the joy of it. It's time to bring joy and to bring simcha to people, and
right.
to try to make people happy every single day and uplift and just be positive, because at the end of the day, that's how we're going to bring Mashiach, is just continuing to be positive and smile and looking and seeing the good in everything, and
correct,
and looking at those sparks and finding and seeing the good in everything that there is out there. And music, and like I said, music is powerful. Music is a tool that can be used for tremendous good and hold tremendous power, and can also be a tool that can do terrible harm. But we just have
Everything, like everything holy, you know, it could either bring you up very high, or misused and abused, it can bring you way down.
100%.
But I think music today is more important than ever before. I think today's young teenagers, I think for them music is the best medicine. You give them a good message. It could inspire them. It'll turn them around. It'll give them focus. And I think, like I said, today singers have this mission, this obligation, so to speak,
right,
to keep these young boys and girls in mind when they write their music and come out with positive messages and make a difference in their lives, because that's the power of a song.
100%. And like I've had previous guests on the show. You know how you mentioned before that there's in the Jewish music space, there's so many different types of sounds and so many different types of people putting out music. There's really no reason to go anywhere else. Like right. I've had people on the show, like Joey Newcomb told me that he had people call him after listening to some of his songs and told him that you really inspired me. You helped me get through this tekufa in my life and really helped me and uplifted me. And I've had like people like Miriam Israeli, who writes everybody's music. She told me these people have been in touch with her and said that your music, your song has really helped me get through this issue that I'm dealing with. Like, you know, all these people, like it's a shlichus, and it is a shlichus. You're here.
Absolutely.
You're here to help lav dafka, to help people and to really, bring them up, and whether you realize it or not, you're doing a tremendous avoda, and you're really helping people.
And I believe that every song has an address. You know, there are songs that I heard that I was offered, and I don't know, just didn't connect, and I passed it on, and another singer got it, and with that song he inspired people. So I believe every song ends up at its right address.
Right.
You know. And so whoever has that shlichus with this particular song to affect a certain neshama, he's going to get it.
Yeah.
You can't run from that, you know. And it's all with a plan. It's all hashgacha pratis. It's all divine providence, and you see it clearly.
Exactly. Well, Rav Avram, it was a pleasure having you on the show. I'm so honored and humbled that we were able to sit down and talk with you today. It's fun to pick your brain to learn more about what went on in the Jewish music space over the course of 4 decades, and to really see your take and your perspective on and how things are going. And like I said, you know, you don't have to retire now that you made it to the show. It's just another milestone. We're honored to have you. And you just keep putting out good music that's inspiring people. Like you said, you know, you with this new single that you put out now, people can find it on your website. They can find it on all major music platforms as well. But with this single, like, you've really bridged the gap between the two worlds of classical and modern to produce this sound. So I wish you tremendous hatzlacha in the future. A nisya tova on your flight to Paris, and you should be
mitzvah,
kasson v'kala.
Amen.
Amen.
Zisha, and you too. You too. Hatzlacha to you. Bring good stuff to your listeners. You know, inspirational, uplifting, freilach.
Amen.
And you should have siyata d'shmaya.
Amen.
And we should all be zeicha to sing the big song that the world is waiting to hear.
I'm looking forward. I'm so looking forward. I feel like it's going to be like, just like that music video you did with everybody for Abba Yitzi.
Bring it on. Bring it on.
That's right.
We are ready. We are ready.
Oh, amazing.
Thanks again, Zisha. Thanks again. Hatzlacha Rabba.
Amen.
You've just listened to another wonderful episode of Go Simcha, the podcast. For more news, updates, and information on our next episode, like us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram at Go Simcha Live. And don't forget to check out the show notes and videos on www.gosimcha.com along with zerradio.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, Go Simcha!